Hello, friends. Welcome to the Eucharist Church Podcast. I'm Kevin Makins, one of the pastors at Eucharist, and you're about to listen to our sermon series on reclaiming Christianity. We are going to be engaging this for a number of months as we try to find a more Christ-like way to be Christians. You are welcome to join us any Wednesday night. We meet at 8 p.m. on Zoom, and all the information is at eucharistchurch.ca, including how to join a breakout group if you'd like to be a part of a regular breakout group after the service. And maybe a small request before we jump in, if you find this content fruitful, helpful for naming and articulating things, we are on a quest to reclaim this faith for good. So feel free to share it around, to enter into conversation with friends about it, and to wrestle through this content with people in your own life. We hope that it helps you and blesses you as you do that. Grace and peace.
So in 2009, the old way stopped working. I was in the middle of seminary, taking just under a full course load, so I could also intern at a church in Toronto and work night shifts at a group home. Every day, I was driving at least 90 minutes, sometimes more, and everywhere I arrove, there was more work to be done. But that wasn't everything. Meg, my wife Meg, had also gotten a new job. We were newly minted adults who were struggling to keep up with friends. And in the moments between the rest of life, we tried to fix up our first house despite having no skill, time, or money. It was a few months into the year when we started noticing that things weren't working anymore. We were always tired, always busy, always financially tight, always scrambling, and physically, it was exhausting. But spiritually, at that deeper level, we could feel something more permanent was slipping away, a vitality, a sense of joy and connection and presence. I guess the best way I could put it is that we felt tired in our souls. Like that beautiful Tolkien line from the Fellowship of the Ring. We felt thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. Around that time, a friend asked if we had considered taking a Sabbath to combat our growing fatigue. The Jewish concept of Sabbath was a full day of rest during which God's people were to cease any kind of work or labor, trusting in the provision of God. And I thought, well, maybe this made sense a couple thousand years ago, but in the modern world of 2009, it seemed impossible. A weekly Sabbath? I remember thinking to myself, ha, that must be nice. Between school and work and the internship, there was never a spare day off. Every open minute was consumed by responsibilities to friends, family, our home, our church. We needed more time to get things done, not less time. We had OSAP to pay off and home expenses and reno costs. We needed more money, not less. And besides, I had seen plenty of people practice Sabbath before, and it didn't seem particularly restful. The stereotype of Sabbath in my mind was just a list of things we weren't allowed to do. No shopping, no playing sports, no screens, only Bible stories and family sing-alongs. And even if I were to restructure my whole life and Meg were to take time off work, would sitting at home all day really be the solution to the problems we were facing? How could doing less somehow create more? So instead of actually listening to my friend's suggestion, I decided that maybe a better option would be to keep doing all the stuff that wasn't working, but for longer. Ha ha ha. Maybe it'll fix itself. Surprise, it didn't. But a few months later, while I was listening to a podcast, the guest on the podcast said something that stopped me in my tracks. He said, "In 5 years from now, will you be more joyful, more energized, more alive, or will you be more tired and bitter and burned up by life?" And this question haunted me, because I didn't want to just survive life. I wanted to thrive. And if the old way wasn't working, if it felt like we were being burned up by it, then finding a new way forward was no longer optional. We were finally totally and utterly desperate enough to do whatever we could do to get our life back. So what can we do to be healthier 5 years down the road? The podcaster asked back. And the guest responded, have you heard about Sabbath? In scripture, this idea of Sabbath evolved over time. The commandment was first given to the Jewish people after they had been liberated from their slavery in Egypt. God had rescued his people, taken them into the wilderness, but that seemed to only free them physically. To free them spiritually, he had a much more difficult task. God had gotten the people out of slavery, but now he had to get the slavery out of the people. And to reprogram their hearts, God gave them a new command from on high, one that required total and absolute obedience. Take a day off. Take a day off. Stop slaving away at your tasks. Remember that you're free now. And this story was rooted in their own creation myth, in which God makes the world in 6 days, but rests on the seventh. It's as if God is saying, if I, the infinite creator of all things, take a weekly nap, what makes you think you don't need one? Of course, over time, debates emerged among all the Israelites, now sounding like a freshman in a philosophy 101 class. Ooh, but Lord, what is work? That's a fair question. What is work? As they settled land and built houses, planted crops, herded animals, the world became more complicated. Should they continue to rest a full day every week when there's work to be done? When the economy is so fragile, when they might fall behind? Enter Jesus. In his life, he reframed the debate, cutting to the heart of things as he does so well. Gospel reading from Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders at the time, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate of the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he, Jesus, said, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. I don't know if anyone else caught that gem. You aren't made for Sabbath. Sabbath is made for you. It's a gift. Rest is like a present wrapped for you under the tree since the creation of the cosmos. And you can argue about laws and you can debate about rules, but who's fighting over a present? Sabbath was given for our liberation. Sabbath was given for our humanity, our souls, and all you need to do is open the gift. So why don't we? What keeps us from receiving this gift of Sabbath? And I would like to suggest that it's something we all feel, but none of us quite know how to talk about. Okay, so last summer, as COVID began to ravage the world, you guys know, there was a lot of debate about, and I quote, the economy, and the toll that this pandemic might take on the economy. And one Christian web developer, noticing how much the economy was shaping our discourse, turned to Jesus' words, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, the Greek word translated money is actually the word mammon. And mammon doesn't just refer strictly to money as an object, but more so that hold it can have on us, how we hoard money, how we grasp it, how we use it to keep us safe. That's mammon. And so noting this, I love this so much, the developer made a plugin for your internet browser, which simply took all references to the economy and automatically changed them instead to say, Lord Mammon. And this led to some truly incredible article titles, including, We All Have to Work Together to Revive Lord Mammon, and Stop COVID or Save Lord Mammon, We Can Do Both. So maybe silly as this sounds, it was getting at something. Simply by swapping the economy for Lord Mammon, the developer was actually revealing the absurdity of our cultural icon idols. The absurdity of our cultural idols. These small g gods that drive our daily decisions, often without us even knowing how to name them. Like the god of efficiency, who wants you to maximize every minute, be more productive. And the god of hard work, who wants you to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, no time for a nap, hustle more. And the god of appearances, who insists you balance the scales. You better have them over for dinner next time and make sure the meal is just as good, if not a little better. And you best believe that Lord Mammon is always at work, telling us that if we have the money, we deserve everything we want exactly when we want it. So hoard the toilet paper. Fly to a northern community to get your vaccine early. Pick up every possible shift to make as much as you can. And of course, every business should be open every day. You've got money, after all, and Lord Mammon will not tolerate being told no. So what stops us from embracing rest? Just about everything in our culture, all the time. To reclaim our time and to reclaim Sabbath will require seeing the day of Sabbath as more than just another day off. We need to learn to see Sabbath as an act of spiritual warfare. We need to learn to see Sabbath as an act of spiritual warfare. Because Sabbath makes 1/7 of your week entirely unproductive to Lord Mammon. Sabbath refuses to be efficient, to reward effort, or to try to balance the scales. It will not participate in the game of our modern gods. It is a gift from the one true king and is truly, to quote Marva Dawn, a royal waste of time. Which is why all the false gods of our modern world are afraid of the Sabbath. It's a threat to them. It doesn't bow to them. It exposes them as the charlatans they are, and it tells the truth that efficiency and hustle, appearances and mammon will never be satisfied, and they can never satisfy. And they will take and take from you and consume your time and your home and your money and your souls, and then they will take our children. And if you think I'm over-exaggerating, how many kids never see their parents because they're too busy at work? How many youth are crushed under the expectations of perfection? And how many more will we allow to be sacrificed before we repent of this old false story and believe the good news? And here it is, that Christ offers you rest, offers you humanity, and offers you the gift of Sabbath. And here's the good part of the good news. There's nothing demanded in return. There is no way for you to balance the scale. It is grace, through and through. You did nothing to earn it. You can do nothing to lose it. You can only open it. And as we receive it, week over week, year over year, Sabbath begins to transform us. My family and I live just off James Street North, and walking the strip is one of our favorite non-lockdown pastimes. And the problem is that we often go on family walks on Monday when, as many of you know, all the cute little artisan shops of Hamilton are closed. And the injustice of it all really bothers me. Why isn't my cafe open on Monday? I will shout to the heavens. I have money. Why don't they want it? But abiding in Sabbath has transformed me. And now, when a little cute shop is closed, I experience only a moment of righteous indignation, quickly replaced by gratitude. Now what I feel is I'm so happy they get this day to rest. Sabbath is transforming the narrative in my own mind. So for Meg and I, back in 2009, Even after listening to this convicting podcast, the practice of Sabbath did not come easy. We're definitely going to start Sabbathing, we said for a couple of months. We just have to get a few things done first. And eventually we realized that there's no good time to ease into a war with the false gods of our culture. We just had to start where we were and as we were. And so we started by just marking it in our calendar, a big, bright red X over Fridays, a 24-hour period where nothing was allowed to happen, one day a week when the work is done, even if it isn't, a stretch of undisciplined time to play and pray, to walk and talk, to turn off our phones and receive our life back. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, this required some difficult decisions. Meg took a day off work to make it happen, and her income went down by 20%. And I had one less day to get all of the school work done. But what's interesting is it should have made life way more stressful, but strangely enough, we quickly found the opposite to be true. We had to become more intentional with our money, which meant that we spent less. I had to become more intentional with my time, which means I was on Facebook less. Remember, it was 2009. Facebook was very hot at the time. You all were tempted to be on it in 2009. Somehow, doing less had created more. And looking back, I can say without reservation that we are, and I really mean this, we are more joyful, more energized, and more alive than we were 10 years ago. And I absolutely, fundamentally believe that it would not have been the case if we hadn't kept a Sabbath. It's worth pointing out that the days changed a lot over time. Before kids, half of our Sabbath was just playing cards in a coffee shop with our friends. Today, it looks like a morning pile-on in bed, followed by oatmeal and maybe a neighborhood walk, both beautiful in their own ways. But I'm really convinced that the particulars are less important than the spirit of the day and the spirit we bring into the day, because after all, we are not made to serve it. It was made for us. So I don't know about you and what kind of situation you find yourself in right now. Perhaps you feel okay in this time, like you've got some energy and focus to spare. And if that's the case, thank God. Like, I do not feel it is my job to run around convincing everyone that they need to keep a Sabbath or else. Not interested. This might be a time where you are totally and, feeling fine. But it also might be a time where you're absolutely desperate to do whatever you need to do to make space for Sabbath in your life. I suspect there are some people who don't feel so good these days, who maybe feel like Meg and I did a decade ago. Maybe some people who feel like the old way is no longer working. That if you keep going at the pace you've been going, the whole thing might just fall apart. You used to maximize every minute, but now time is slipping away. You used to keep up with the endless to-dos, but now you're slowing down. You used to balance the scale and keep up appearances, but now you're feeling lopsided. You used to be able to feed Lord Mammon, but now he's taking more than he gives. Well, beloved of Christ, there is good news. If you feel like every day is just a repeat of the day before, if you feel like you can't hear your soul anymore, if you feel like butter stretched over too much toast, God has a gift for you. The beautiful gift of Sabbath, wrapped and waiting to be opened. Amen.